Welcome. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and celebrating victory over internet pornography, and my name is Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Take a moment and pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of this day, for the gift of gathering and lifting our voices in praise to you. Pray for our brothers and sisters not able to be with us here this evening. Help them to experience your presence and your love and your healing. I pray that you help us in this step, in this lesson, to slow down our mind and our thoughts and to be open to what your Holy Spirit has to say to us tonight. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. All right, so 2 weeks ago was the last lesson, and Van taught sponsor. And so sponsor, just a quick recap, sponsor and accountability partners. You'll hear those terms if you're new to the program. Real simply, an accountability partner are those who are journeying with you in typically in your small group. So I'm in the Sexual Integrity Men's Group. So in that one, there's other men walking that journey with me. And so I might tell them, this is my goal for this week. Maybe my goal is to make it one day at a time, and I'm going to check in with one of my accountability partners on a daily basis, maybe just a quick text message. Or I might say, I'm going to work on my inventory this week. So check in with me on Wednesday or on Saturday and see if I did what I said I was going to do and hold me accountable to that. So I have found within Celebrate Recovery, accountability partners, I'd been in Al-Anon, and I didn't have that experience. It was a sponsor, and that was it. And so this accountability partner in my small group has really been helpful in helping me make small incremental steps and getting over maybe some fears that I have or procrastination, which is often fear-based. A sponsor is someone who has been through step study, who has done this journey maybe further down the path, and they've got the scars to show it, and they also have the wisdom that goes with that. So I've got two sponsors. Sometimes, you know, you're extra work, so I've got two myself. But it's really good because often a sponsor has been through the program, maybe had a relapse, come back and forth. So they've struggled in that journey. And so they have wisdom for me and can identify and not let me get away with things that are thinking that are leading me off the path, that are leading me into temptation. So that's the beauty of a sponsor. So that was Van's lesson, and I just didn't do it justice, but hopefully you heard that a couple weeks ago. If not, it's on Rolling Hills CR, and you can listen to the recording of it. Tonight is lesson 8, and the title is Moral. And that's also going to be our acrostic. But let's begin with the principle, which is openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. And the scripture that goes with that is happy are the pure in heart, Matthew 5:8. And step 4, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Lamentations 3:40. So we're going to dig in tonight to the beginning of this process. And with it, there's sometimes growing pains. So we're going to look at ways that we maximize our growth and minimize the pain. It'd be nice to skip pain altogether, but that, unfortunately, the pain is a springboard often into our healing. And when we go to avoid it, suppress it, avoidance is actually kind of what got me here. Something to distract me from what I'm really feeling and the pain I might be going through or resentment I might be holding on to or a hurt that I'm still holding on to. And so working through that, going through that process on the other side is serenity, is peace, is healing. And I haven't found a shortcut in doing that. But by the fact that you're here tonight, you're choosing to go forward. You're going to embark on the adventure of self-discovery that begins with Principle 4 that we spoke of earlier, and will continue through Principle 5. In doing so, growth will occur. The word moral can be scary sometimes, but simply it just means to be honest. So we'll start with our acrostic. So for moral, I don't know if it's going to show up there, but I'll quickly go through these, but then we're going to go through each one in some detail. The first for M is make time. So M is make time. The O is open. Giving you a chance to write. Okay. R is rely. Rely, R-E-L-Y, rely. The A is analyze. And finally, the L is list. Create lists. Okay. So for the first one, make time. That is exactly as it says, make the time to do this step. So think about for yourself, what is the most effective way for you to do that? One guy in my small group, the beach works for him. He gets everything blocks out. He has his favorite hotel with a view of the water, and he sits there and he writes, and he writes, and he writes. And that is a good place. For me, it's early morning. I'm a morning person, so before anybody else is up, I can go. I have an office in my home. I can go in there. I can write. And I like it. I have clarity. I'm drinking coffee. That is a comfort. And that works well for me. I often have to schedule it, you know, so that I'm going to say on Saturday morning, I'm not going to sleep in, which I don't sleep in anymore. My body doesn't let me for some reason. But if I could, I don't. And I get up and I go to that, and I don't schedule a meeting up with anybody else. I don't schedule starting chores or reading the paper or checking the news. That's what I do. So look at what it takes for you to make that time, what works best. There's a scripture passage that goes with this, Job 33, verse 33, that says, "Listen to me, keep silence, and I will teach you wisdom." That one's an important one for me because I'm a doer. I like to do, but often that doing, while sometimes can be productive, is also not being alone with what God wants to say to me. And maybe because I don't want to change, or maybe I'm a little fearful, but to sit still for a moment and listen and be open and open the scriptures and let God speak to me through that. Okay, now we'll go to O. And that stands for open. We need to open wide our heart and mind to allow the feelings that the pain of the past has blocked or caused us to deny. Denial may have protected you from your feelings and repressed your pain for a while, but now it's also blocked and prevented you from recovery from your hurts, hang-ups, and habits. So you need to open wide to see the real truth. This one's an important one, and we talk about in the program, you know, small group is there for sharing and listening. It's not there to fix one another. And but often, I need more than that, and so I'll go to a counselor who is trained and also a Christian that supports my beliefs, that helps me peel the onion back and work through some of those things. So some of those protective mechanisms we have of suppressing pain or being in denial were there to get us through whatever trauma our life may have presented with us, whether it was at a very young age or later on in life. And while that protected us at one time, staying there prevents us from healing and getting past that. And so that defensive mechanism no longer serves its purpose for health and well-being. So once you see the truth, you need to express it. Again, Job 7:11 says, "Let me express my anguish. Let me be free to speak out of the bitterness of my soul." So perhaps the following questions will help you to wake up your feelings and get you started on your inventory. So the first thing, the most easiest one for me, was, what do you feel guilty about? I had a pretty good list. So start with that. You know, and I could go back to about this big and being young and just some thoughtless things I had done, things in school, things, being mean to peers or siblings, and all the way through my adult years. So what do you feel guilty about? Now, just a quick distinction between guilt and shame. So guilt is when I've done something wrong, and it's God working through my conscience to say, Jim, what you just did there wasn't right. You need to do something about it. Shame says, you are not right. You were created wrong. And that's not true. Scripture tells us God created us in image and likeness, right? So we are created good. We are created good. That is you know, God's love for us. So it's not that I'm a mistake, but I made a mistake. And so that's the difference between guilt and shame. And so what are you guilty about? We can deal with shame a little bit later. A scripture that goes well with what I was just saying is Romans 8:1, which tells us there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Once we get to the decision and ask Jesus into our hearts and confess our wrongs, and we accept Christ's perfect forgiveness and turn from our sins, as far as God is concerned, guilt's purpose to make us feel bad about what we did in the past, it's finished. But sometimes we like to hold on to it and beat ourselves over the head with it. That's condemnation, and that's not from God. It's from ourselves. So principle 4 will help you let go of your guilt once and for all. So the next question, it's kind of a different side of the coin, what do I resent? So that one is often something that may have happened to me. So I'm a parent and a grandparent now, so I can see the other side of that. And, you know, I might have resentments towards my parents when I was growing up, things my mom or dad said or did, my siblings, aunts and uncles. And so what are those things? Write them down. What are the resentments I'm still holding on to? Resentments often result from burying our hurts. That's usually when I look at what I'm resentful for. I go back and say, well, when you did this, this really hurt. Okay. Okay, then another good question to ask during this step is, what are my fears? That's a good one I look at daily. What are my fears? Because often fears drive some of my behaviors, and they're just that. They're just fears. They're not reality. And they often hold me in place. I'll give you an example. If I speak up and say that you hurt me, you might not like me. I'm afraid that you won't like me, so I'm not going to speak up. That means I don't trust you. Some people don't deserve trust, so I'm not just saying trust people independently, but when I'm in a relationship with someone that I love and that loves me, then I need to take some risk and overcome the fear, and the fear holds me back from going deeper into relationship. And that's also true in one of our most important relationships, and that's with God. What are the things I'm afraid of being alone with God for just a little while in prayer and in study? You know, maybe he's going to tell me I have to change something, and I don't really want to hear that. That's a fear. And it's holding me back. Fear often prevents us from expressing ourselves honestly and taking an honest moral inventory. Joshua 1, verse 9 tells us, "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go." So true. As high as the heavens, as low as the valleys, and the depths of the sea, you can't escape God. God's with us. And maybe your experience in your upbringing was to fear God in an unhealthy way. And yet, if we get back to Scripture, God is love, right? Love, unconditional. And I've even heard it said, you know, putting a human voice behind God, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And that is a very, very deep truth. Sure, you know, I look at myself as a parent or as a grandparent, and I see what a young person is going to do that could hurt them, and I want them, I don't want that, right? But it's not because I'm going to take my love away from that little child. It's because I care so much. I know that's going to hurt them or hurt somebody that they're around. So that's God, right? And I experience it at a very simple level, a very, you know, human level, and yet God's love is unconditional, it's forever, and it's without bound and without limits. We're the only ones that limit that. The next question, am I trapped in self-pity, alibis, or dishonest thinking? Remember, the truth doesn't change, but your feelings do. When I look at this question, it's often, am I justifying myself? Am I defending myself unjustly? And what I mean by that is, I'll use as an example, you know, my wife may say, you know, you're being insensitive. And I'll be like, no, I'm not. And I'll have five reasons why I'm not. But then if I don't jump there, but say, I didn't like the way that sounds. I didn't like the way you said it. Is it true? Yeah. Okay. Let me look at that and address it. And that's why kind of self-justification or I did that, but you did this first, right? Okay, now I'm not owning what I did. Yeah, that hurt, and I need to own that what you said hurt me, but then I kind of compounded it by responding to it and hurting in return. All right, so those questions are a good beginning for your inventory. Don't be discouraged. The next letters are a reminder that you don't have to face this task alone. The next letter is R, which stands for rely. First, rely on Jesus to give you the courage and the strength this step requires. Isaiah 40, verse 29, tells us that Jesus gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. You can do this with his help. The steps are in order for a reason. You need to complete principle 3, turning your life and your will over to God, before you can successfully work on principle 4. Now, while they are in order, and that order does help, I've been a part of CR since 2014, end of 2014. You can skip and go back, because this is one, principle 3, that I have to come back to almost daily. And that is, and especially when I pause for a moment in my day, take an inventory and say, yeah, I'm feeling some fear. Oh, am I turning this over to God? Am I relying on God's presence and grace? Nope, I'm trying to just rely on Jim. Okay, that gets me grounded again. I hand it over. Oh my goodness, I feel peace. I don't feel fearful. That's a better way to go through my day, right? Once you know the love and the power of the one and the only higher power, Jesus Christ, there's no longer any need for fear to fear this principle. Psalm 31, verses 23 and 24 tell us, "Oh, love the Lord, all of you who are his people, for the Lord protects those who are loyal to him. So cheer up, take courage if you're depending on the Lord." And remember, courage is not the absence of fear, but the conquering of it. Okay, the next one, you're ready for A, which is analyze your past with honesty. To do a searching and fearless inventory, you need to step out of denial because we cannot put our faults behind us until we face them. We must look through our denial of the past and into the truth of the present. Our own feelings, motives, thoughts. Sometimes what we might think of as our darker side, the side that we're not proud of. Some people may hear the word analyze and be excited because they like to analyze things and spend a lot of time in it. For others, analyze is like a death sentence. I don't want to spend that much time on it. So for those of you that are experiencing more of the stress or distress of that, next we'll talk about L, which is list and moral. Your inventory is basically a written list of events of your past, both good and bad. That is something that I think took me a while to both understand and to hear. It's really easy sometimes to get into shame and just look at everything I've done that's bad and sit there and like, I'm bad, right? So that gets me to that side of it. The truth is throughout our lives, there's times when we've fallen short and times we haven't. We've lived into what God designed us to be and to love and to care. And so as we're doing our inventory, we're going to look at both of those. What was helpful for me was to start, you know, I have memories of definitely kindergarten, maybe a little bit before that, but right around kindergarten. And there are things this side, I don't think I was that malicious of a little five-year-old. So they're not a lot over here, a lot of good things, right? And an example of that is there was an elderly couple down the street and I'd ring their doorbell and say, can the dad come out and play? And so they didn't have grandkids, so I was their little guy. So we did projects. We baked cookies, which I loved. We made beeswax candles, or another memory I have. So just in being who I was created, an adventuresome little guy that didn't sit still, I brought joy into their lives. They brought joy into my lives. You know, a real kind of win-win. As life goes on, I go back to like college. There were times I was not forthright and just and loving in relationships, and other times where I was, where God's grace worked through me. And recognizing that, it's too easy to shortchange ourselves and the good that God's done in our lives and the good that we've done in the world as a result of that. So don't cut that short. Lamentations 3:40 tells us, let us examine our ways and test them. It doesn't say, just examine your bad negative ways. You need to focus honestly on the pros and cons of your past. An important word of caution, not to begin this step without a sponsor or an accountability partner. You need someone to journey with you in this. If you've never done an inventory and confessed, it's scary. It can be very scary. It's like, oh my goodness, these are my dark secrets. I don't want anyone to know. But that actually gives the devil power over us in staying in the dark over here. And when we do that inventory, when we have someone who's trusted, sponsor needs to be someone. Just real quickly, if this is one of your first times, a sponsor is the same gender as you, male, male, female, female, and that you have a relationship with, that you can build a relationship with, that you feel comfortable with, because we are going to share these things, right? Now, again, with my sponsor, they've shared some of their journey, so I feel a sense of trust. I also feel like I'm not going to tell him something that's going to make him fall over dead out of shock, right? He's seen it, he's heard it, he's done it, right? So I have somebody that I can trust and that will also support me in this. So we went through all of the letters, so you now know what moral is, you know the steps to it. In 2 weeks, we'll begin the first teaching lesson on inventory. So this is, if you've not been through the program before, we do, in essence, four teachings to help people do their inventory. The first one on sponsor and accountability partners, the Van did. The one tonight with moral, Jack is going to be teaching next week on the first part of inventory. It's a nice, gentle process, you know, to help kind of lead you through it. It's also, if you've done it before and you feel called, like, I've got some unresolved things, another time through is very good. I've done 3-step studies, done 5 inventories as far as the big, extensive one, and I try to do daily as well. God's always got something new to heal. There's always a lingering thing sometimes that I'm like, yeah, I went through the motions over here, but I didn't let it go. So I need to come back to it. I need to come back to it. And that's okay. This isn't about perfection. It's progress. All right. So that is it. And Jack, I don't know if you've got announcements, but I will turn it over to you.